Good morning, Abundant Life. Good to see you. How many think I should just have Anthony keep playing while I speak this morning? I got a feeling that the anointing would be much stronger if he plays. And thanks, man. And happy Mother's Day to you all. Nice touch with the tiara, by the way. That's a beautiful thing. Can't hardly miss that one. And it's good to have all of our kids here. Once, the first time in 4 years, right? That we've had all Winschlag kids here and then all future Winschlag kids at the same time. Gotta love that. Good to be with you today. We enjoyed a nice vacation last week, and thank you, Glenn, for teaching. I've heard great report from the word that you gave. We are finishing up a series this morning. Is my microphone on, by the way? Hard time hearing. Okay, great. Finishing up a series this morning. The series called Love Does in the Faith Family. This year, our theme is Love Does. And that's based on the scripture out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. That reads, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Can we say that together? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's an important passage. If that's what God says, the only thing that counts, then we have to pay attention. That our faith in Christ, our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be expressed. If we just believe it but don't express it, really what good is it? The Bible says in James that even the demons believe, but they don't express anything in faith. So our faith must be expressed in love. And we took it a step further in another verse in Galatians that reads this way. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So if we're going to express our faith in love, the next question is, well, how do we do that and to whom do we do that? And this scripture says we'll do it to everybody. Express your faith through love to everybody, but especially to those who belong to the family. And Jesus gave us some reasons why. He said when he was on the earth, he said that they will know, people will know that we are Christians by our love for each other. That you may not be a real vocal evangelist. You may not be one who's very, very confident in expressing verbally the truths about Christ. And we all should learn how to do that. But you know, your testimony of loving each other carries a lot of weight to people. In the book of Acts, when the church just loved each other and supported each other and were devoted to each other, people came because they wanted a part of that. And so our faith expressing itself through love to each other in the family of believers is really, really a powerful thing. So we've been walking through that in this series, Love Does in the Faith Family. And we talked about creating unity in love. The first message we talked about practicing that unity by serving each other. Last week, Glenn talked about preserving the unity by being able to understand what is truth and what is false, what is good doctrine, bad doctrine, and how to rightly divide that. And today I want to talk to you about the maintenance part, the maintaining of the unity. And it comes from a scripture in Ephesians, reads this way, instead... Read it with me, would you? Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. Again, another powerful passage. Instead, when we speak the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. Our truth with each other, speaking the truth to each other and with each other, is crucial. Not just the truth doctrinally, the way we learned last week, but also speaking the truth in our relationships with each other. When you're truthful, when you're honest, when you learn how to have good confrontation, we grow up. Now, when I read about Jesus' life and do a survey of Jesus' life, Jesus dealt with relationships in a really unique few ways. Sometimes he avoided conflict. Sometimes Jesus just walked away. Sometimes Jesus resolved conflict. That he dealt with what was happening and he brought resolve to it. But sometimes Jesus created conflict. That he knew it was the best thing to do to have a confrontation. And in our lives, we need to copy that. That there's a time just to walk away, right? Maybe there's a situation and you know it, just walk away. Turn the other cheek, move on, let's avoid this particular conflict. It's not the right time, not the right situation, just walk away. Other times, it's for resolve. This needs to be dealt with, let's deal with it. Sometimes you need to create it. There's a confrontation, and really, the creation of that is the first step of resolving a conflict. Most people misunderstand relationship and think that keeping peace at all costs is really what we ought to do. Jesus didn't think that. Jesus didn't think, just keep the peace, just give in, just acquiesce, just let them just do their thing, just don't rumble, don't ruffle feathers, let things just settle, everything will be fine. It won't be fine. You know that, right? How many conflicts have you had in your life that have lasted years and still are not resolved? Time does not heal all wounds. You know that, right? It just buries them deeper and deeper and deeper until someone has ulcers or the volcano finally blows up in the relationship and it gets more and more messy. In theory, we all believe that honesty is the best policy, but how many of us are really good at being honest? Really? We avoid a lot because we're afraid many times or we're concerned about what might happen in the relationship. For instance, ask yourself, what would really happen if I told my father how deeply I was hurt by things that happened in life? How would it go in your household, husbands, if you told your wife just how you really felt about how your marriage was going? How about if you really told your boss that you really thought what was going on was unethical? Maybe you're afraid you'd get fired. Honesty is hard, amen? It's difficult to tell the truth. But if we don't learn how to have proper confrontation, our relationships will never deepen. And this is about maintaining the unity. Not having any elephants in our sanctuary. Okay? We don't want to have that. We want to have vulnerability and purity and the ability to walk in here and say, we are good with each other. That's unity. And the Bible says when we practice that and strive and work hard for unity, that we then develop into the fullness of the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about this. How do we confront someone you love? How do you confront someone you love? Now, this is not a subject that we're good at. Almost no one is good at this. I'm certainly not good at this. Here's what I do know. No one likes this. If you like this, you need therapy. That's just the way it is. Anybody likes confrontation, you like to have these kind of talks, there's just something wrong. You need to just to go and get on medication or something. I don't know what you need to do. But it's important to maintain the unity. It's important. So we've got to learn how to do these things. And how do you confront someone in love? How does this work? How do you have those confrontations? How do you have those conversations? And I want to bring up four key areas this morning that will help us in a really, really, really down-to-earth, practical way on how to have healthy confrontation so that we can maintain the unity in the body of Christ. And then all of us will be built up. Number one, check your motives. Check your motives. Ask yourself, why am I having this conversation in the first place? Why do I need to have this confrontation? You might have a bad motive. There's lots of bad motivations for confrontation. Maybe you're jealous with someone and you just want to have it out with them. Maybe you are irritated with them or angry at them. Maybe you just are frustrated. You want to take them down a peg. And so you're going to have a confrontation and give them a piece. There are a lot of bad motivations. Well, what's a good motivation for having a conversation? Well, Scripture says, let me back up. Scripture says that it's to help the person. The right motivation, the good motivation, is to help. There's plenty of bad ones. You know, a really, really bad one is this, that we often see the same things in other people that we are weak in our own lives. Have you ever noticed that? That if you're a person who maybe struggles with gossip, you can spot a gossip a mile away, can't you? If you have maybe a bit of a prideful issue, you can spot an ego a mile away. Takes one to know one really is true. That if you have the same issue in your life, sometimes we want to have a confrontation because we really hate what that is happening inside of us. And we want to confront that same thing in somebody else. And that's why Jesus said this statement. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time you've got a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck in someone else's eye. We often have a bad motivation of correcting someone or confronting someone with the very issue we have. We just don't like seeing it facing back at us like we're looking into a mirror. Another bad motivation is confronting with our opinions. With our opinion. What makes your opinion right and theirs wrong? Maybe they have a different style than you like. Maybe they have a different way or a mannerism than you like. Maybe they have different tastes than what you like. Is that really a time for confrontation? I think it's not a time for confrontation. It's time for you to just get over it. Right? If there's nothing in Scripture that points out that what the person is doing or their behavior is somehow ungodly, then it's not up to you to have a confrontation. It's up to you just to let them live their life and deal with it. Those are all bad motivations. Well, what is the right motivation? The right motivation is to help, not to hurt. The first step, check your motivation. Is your motivation to help the person? Not for you to feel better, but for to help them get through something. Here's what Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 12. Everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. Is the confrontation for their strengthening? Another Scripture. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Have you ever had a person just flatter you, and just because they're flattering, because they wanted something from you? They'll tell you what you want to hear. We just got back from vacation in Mexico. Man, flattery flies there when they want you to buy something from their shop, right? Oh, come here. Oh, you look so good. Oh, I like that. Come here and buy something. Flattery multiplies kisses when it's about them. But we want to strengthen each other. And from a friend, a wound is even a good thing. Relationship is important. That word, or phrase, a friend is important for us this morning. When you're confronting someone, it's always best to have a relationship first. I've had a lot of people confront me in my life. Some of them I've received well, some of them not so well. And you know what? Here's the truth. This is consistent. The ones I've received really well are the ones I had relationship with, and I knew they had my best interest in mind. The opposite is also true. I remember being a young person, maybe early 20s, and a person at our church that I had never had a single conversation with ever, approached me and pulled me aside and just gave me a good solid rebuke for my behavior. And you know what? Here's what was going on. He was right in his rebuke, but we had zero relationship. And so it didn't go over well. Now, I did indwell his words, but we never had a relationship. I never respected him because the relationship was absent. If we're going to confront someone, remember that it's a friend whose wounds can even be helpful to us. Let's have that, develop that, so the person knows you're doing it in love, not just doing it to be, you know, the morality police in life. If you want to have a deep relationship, you'll check your motives. You'll look to help, not to hurt, and you'll have that conversation. Number two, plan your presentation. Simple. Just think through what you're going to say. How many have ever just had that moment where you spoke the words, they went about a foot out in front of you, and you wish you had a gigantic word net that you could just go whoop and pull them back in? Too late. Done. Am I the only one that just speaks without thinking first? Okay, help me out here a little bit. Thank you. You and me, bro. The only ones. Don't you hate? You can't get those words back. I have words that I've spoken. I remember words that I've spoken even as a young person and know the damage they caused, and I can't get them back. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a bald-faced lie. Amen? It's a lie. Words do hurt. They sink deeply. Scripture says this. Whoops. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. If you're wise, you'll plan your presentation. You know you got to have the talk. You've been putting it off. You know you got to have it. Plan it. What are you going to say? How are you going to say it? How is it going to work? You want it to be persuasive. Some steps. Plan when you'll say it. Timing is everything, right? What's the difference between a really, really good barbecue and a bad barbecue? Timing. Yeah, it's good sauce. If I don't cook it, it'll be a good barbecue. That's the difference. Timing, right? Oh, you left the steak on too long. Now it's too overdone. Bad barbecue. Timing. What's the difference between a gold medal and fourth place and no medal? Oftentimes, just a fraction of a second. Timing is everything. Plan when you're going to say it. Scripture says, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Now, the listening ear is part of the listener's job too. But there's a time when a person will be listening and a time when they won't be listening. Avoid impulse confrontation. That's not in your notes, but write it down. Avoid impulse confrontation. What does that mean? That means you saw something on social media and it ticked you off and you're going to respond right now. Does that ever work? It never works. It never creates anything good. Or you sit down at your computer because that person ticked you off and you're going to write out that email and you're going to fire it out and you hit send and you don't know what's going on after it goes out there. Can I just ask us to do this thing as Christians? Okay, this is not in the Bible, but it just makes good Bible sense. Stop having confrontation over the internet. Can you just stop doing it? Okay, I'm your pastor. I love you. Stop doing it. Pick up the phone or ask, better yet, ask the person to lunch and sit down face to face. Stop doing this stuff over the computer. You don't know how it's being taken. You don't know how you're thinking these words sound really good. They receive those words without any ability to know your tone, your body language, your actual feeling behind. All they see is words, and they don't always come across the way you think they did. My wife and I just learned recently that if you text and put a period at the end, that's a bad thing. The adults are going, it's a sentence, why not put a period? The younger people are going, oh, bad, bad, really bad. You got to put a little happy face at the end of everything so they know. And you can put a happy face on the end of anything and it's okay. I really hate you. Happy face. And it's good. For some reason, it works. I don't know how that works, but it is. Let's just stop doing this. Impulse confrontation is not good, ever. Think about it, and then have a face-to-face. Love the person enough to take the time to have the relationship. We can be just confrontation terrorists and just firing at people from all angles, and it doesn't help us. It's never, ever, ever helpful. Plan when you're going to say it. Excuse me. Did I mess this up somehow? Oh, yeah, plan your presentation. Plan when you're going to say it. Oh, when you're going to say it. I wanted to say this about that part. Today's Mother's Day. Not today. Okay, can we just not today? Okay, maybe moms aren't perfect. Let them be perfect today. Okay, just do that part for me, okay? Not, let it go. Okay, I didn't want to miss that one for some reason. When people are tired, don't have the confrontation. When people are under stress, don't have the confrontation. Columbia University actually did a study, said that most arguments at home happen right before dinner time. You're coming home from work, you're stressed, and you're hangry. And you're going to do it now? Really? When the person's under crisis, don't have the confrontation. Really bad timing. Your friend just discovered their mother has a disease. They just got rebuked from their boss, and their son is failing college. Oh, and by the way, I need to talk to you about your attitude. Bad timing. You follow, right? Be loving enough to know when to have the confrontation. It's like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke. Plan what you're going to say. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word aptly spoken. What are you going to say? Think it through. I found this. Your introduction can set the tone for the whole talk. Now, again, I'm no pro at this. I hate confrontation. I hate having those talks, but you got to have them. When you think about how you open, That's just practical stuff, right? This is just easy, but this works. I'm telling you, it works. Think about how you're going to introduce the whole thing. If you come at it like, this place is an insult to pigs, it's such a pigsty. Probably not going to start real well with the confrontation with your spouse. I like to start with good words, with affirmation, with love, with respect, and then say, we've got to talk though. Okay, how you say it, when you say it, and what you say is really, really important. Words to avoid, and this is not new for you, but always avoid using always and never use never. Right? You know that, right? You always, but no, they really don't always. But you never, no, they do sometimes. You're just mad right now. Okay? Always avoid using always and never use never. And plan how you'll say it. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You ever use reckless words? Words you wish you could get back? We all do. We all have. We all know those times. And we've had them said to us too. Someone was mad and in an instant, they just let it fly and it just happened to find you. It hit you right between the eyes. It's all in the way we say it. Now, I'm no pro at this, but I've learned some things over time. There are three things that I think will help us in planning how you'll say it. Number one, say it tactfully. Say it tactfully. Scripture says in Proverbs 16:21, a wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive. Isn't that interesting? You'll be more persuasive when you're pleasant. So be tactful. Avoid being angry. Avoid shouting. Avoid cutting. Avoid just the words that you know are going to damage. Say it tactfully. Number two, say it lovingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 says, I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Can I just say this? Your words might be truthful. But how many know truth wrapped around a baseball bat can really kill? Okay, don't beat people up with your words. How do you know if you're going to beat people up with your words? Here's how I know. If I know that I'm going to enjoy this confrontation, it's probably not good for me to have it right then. You know what I'm trying to say? Oh, I'm going to have this confrontation and it's going to make them hurt way more than it's going to hurt me. Then don't have it right then because your motives aren't right. Okay, it's not loving at that point if you're going to enjoy it and enjoy watching them squirm or watching them hurt. Number three, say it gently. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If someone is trapped in a sin, you should gently lead the person back to the right path. When I have a confrontation, I try to use a couple of just different rules of thumb. I never raise my voice. It's just gentle. A calm answer turns away wrath, Scripture says. So the tone doesn't need to rise for the intensity to rise. You can be very, very intense, but say it in a regular voice too. I try to always have my facts straight so that I'm not dealing with hearsay or opinion or any assuming. So we can be very, very clear. Say it gently and be affirming. Here's a phrase that will help you. It's not in your notes, but write it down. Truth plus tact plus timing equals transformation. I'll say it again. Truth plus tact plus timing equals transformation. You put those things together and your confrontations will have a much more healing effect, much more effect to change lives and to help in our relationships. Scripture says this, I'm writing these things not to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. That's the Apostle Paul talking to us. That's God through the Apostle Paul. He rebukes those he loves because he wants us to grow. Number three, give them affirmation. Give them affirmation. Scripture says, an anxious heart wears a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Kind words make people cheer up better. Remember, Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Well, a confrontation with affirmation helps it to be a little easier to go down. They can take it a little better when it's affirming, even when it's something that they don't necessarily want to hear. Your relationships have two legs to stand on. If they only have one leg, they'll fall over. And those two legs are these. Again, not in your notes, but write it down. Confirmation or confronting in truth, affirming in love. Stand on those two legs. Confronting in truth, affirming in love. You'll have far more success in your confrontations. The Bible says the truth will set you free. But how many know freedom can hurt sometimes? The truth might set you free, but it can make you miserable for a while. We've got to learn how to not let the misery scare us away from the confrontation. To not be so afraid of the difficult part of the confrontation that we'll just let it go and never bring the healing into the relationship. The truth does hurt. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. I love Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians are books all about confrontation. On just about every chapter in those two books, Paul is directing something very confronting at those people. But look what he starts with. I always thank God for you. And look what he ends with. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. He was affirming, and then he'd bring the rebuke. And he was affirming, and he'd bring the... And they knew that he really, really, really loved them. And we need to be lovers of people too. Here's what I've learned, another tip for you. When you use the word but in a confrontation, whatever you said before the but and whatever you said after the but will be completely unheard. You get that, right? You could have 20 compliments before the but, and they have heard none of them. I think, hon, that we are, you know, I just love you so much, but, and then here comes the bomb, right? You can hear the whistles of the bomb coming down. I really think you're doing a good job at work, but they hear nothing. Avoid using the word but and replace it with the word and. It's just a really good tip. It works. I think we have a good marriage and we can be a lot better. You're doing a great job and I think we can even improve on what we're already doing. That's a lot more positive, isn't it? It makes it palatable. It's affirming. It makes the person feel what you actually want to communicate. But we can sometimes short-circuit our communication by using the wrong words. Paul says this, I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles, my troubles, my joy knows no bounds. That's affirming. Right in the middle, if you read 2 Corinthians 7, of a ton of rebukes. Finally, risk rejection. Risk the rejection. So we're going to check our motives. We're going to plan our presentation. We're going to be affirming. And we're going to risk rejection. This is the hardest part. Many of us don't want to have a confrontation because we're just simply scared of what's going to happen in the aftermath. We don't want to lose the relationship. We don't want to hurt it. We don't want to damage it. We don't want the person not to like us. And so we just don't do it. We don't do it. We don't do it. And some of us think that it's just going to be worse than just letting alone. Let me tell you, it's a lie. Letting a cancer alone always will kill you. Always. We've got some living examples in this church body of folks that have just fought that horrible disease. And it's hard, but without the fight, they'd be dead already. It's worth it. Risk the rejection. It's scary to speak in love. It's hard. We don't want to lose the relationship. We don't. But if you don't, you'll lose it anyway. Here's what Scripture says. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. But now I'm happy. Get that point? I had to talk to you. It hurt for a while, but now we're happy. Because you worked it through in the bond of love. Because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Yes, the confrontation will produce some pain. Yes, it will hurt. But in the long run, it will bring happiness. It will bring joy to the relationship. And it will bring deepening to the relationship. You have to risk the love you have with that person. That's why the relationship is so important. Another scripture says, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I won't ask anybody if you enjoy kisses on the lips. I'll just speak for myself, and I kind of like them. That's what an honest answer is like. It's good. It's helpful. Yes, maybe at first, it's kind of tough, but it's worth it. Can we exercise maintaining the unity in our church family by deepening relationships? I will tell you this without a shadow of a doubt, without any exaggeration. The people that I've had good, healthy, honest confrontations with are the people today I trust more than anybody else. I trust them because they'll tell me the truth. And I believe they'll trust me when I tell them the truth. It's those that you're not quite sure if they're going to tell you the truth. Those are the ones you're a bit wary about. And they don't help you. Can we help each other? Can we help each other and love each other? And again, this is not about opinion, not about style, but good, godly, biblically based, loving relationship and confrontation. Let me ask you this morning, who is it that you need to have a confrontation with right now? Is there somebody in your life? You've been avoiding it because you're scared. You don't want to mess things up. Let me tell you what, it's already messed up because you're messed up inside over it. Practice these principles from God's word, and He'll lead you into a depth that you never thought that you could have. Do you see a person in your life heading down the wrong road? Scripture says, restore them gently. See a relationship going awry? Have the talk. Sit them down. It'll be effective. Last scripture, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. You can say, I love you, I love you, I love you all day long and ignore the problem. But I tell you what, when the problem rears its head, the I love yous will vanish and the why didn't you tell me will remain. Let's have honest, good confrontation, amen? And let's have health and strength and unity in our church body. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. There are so many other scriptures that we could use today. I'm finishing up this series, and this is really adult talk today. It's not fluffy. It's not sweet and cozy. On Mother's Day, that would have been easy. But God, you want us to maintain the unity of the body. And to maintain that means it's necessary to have the hard talk sometimes. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us today to not be so concerned about our own reputations or concerned about our own likability, that we would avoid speaking the truth in love. Never, it's never easy. It's often hurtful. But God, I know that a life-saving surgery demands a bit of cutting in order to save the life. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we can be a church family that is healthy. And part of that health is that we know how to love each other well. Lord, help us to check our motives so that we're not running around just confronting people for our own benefit, but to strengthen each other. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be wise in how and when and what we say. Building relationships so the context is right. God, help us to be affirming so that we know we're building and not tearing down. Help us not to fear rejection. Lord, I pray for the relationships in this church body. And I know because we're human beings that there are people who have issues with one another or even with family members or coworkers or neighbors. Or Lord, help us today. Give us the courage to do the loving thing so that we can maintain the unity in our family. Let's just pray this prayer, shall we? Just pray it along with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. And I want to love people in my life the way you love me. You've told me the truth in your word. I don't always like it. And often it hurts. But I receive it because I know you love me. Lord, help me to love others the way you love me. To build relationship that is strong. And to deepen it by having good, loving confrontation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this great church family. Help us to maintain it. by speaking the truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.